The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
One of the things that, you know, the Bible talks to us and teaches us is that angels are messengers of God, but they're also ministering angels. Jesus was ministered to by angels after his temptation from Satan in the wilderness. And we see throughout the Bible where angels are sent to minister to us.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
There are angels all around us, right? You have an angel. I want to talk about them a little bit today. They are not mythical. You know, they are real. And I know so often, and I do a mea culpa every October to my angel because so often I forget to invoke him. I forget about him. And yet this angelic being will be with me through all eternity. And I've been better this year. I often say, you know, normally I forget about him until October, the great feast of the guardian angels or the archangels. But I, you know, every morning now I've been turning to my angel for protection, for intercession. And I don't know if you've had any angelic encounters. Have you ever, I don't know, encountered a mysterious stranger? Have you ever been assisted in a time of need and you know that that had to be an angel sent by God? Have you ever been inspired? Have you ever been tempted and have risen above that temptation? Angels are with you your whole life. They watch over you even when you sin. Although it's sometimes, you know, I'm sure they're deeply wounded and maybe even constrained. But it's important because when you stray from God, and I think in some respects you handcuff your angel. I mean, they whisper wisdom into our souls. They protect us against the demonic. You know, St. Meinrad, he related the protection of his angel against evil attacks. Padre Pio had all these angelic encounters. St. Margaret of Cortona. And the list goes on and on. But angels are a big part of the spiritual life. And they are there to guard, to guide, to protect. And I think it would do you well to heed them. There's a new book out that I think would make a great read for you over Lent or in the days ahead. It was written by Monsignor Brian Bransfield. He's a priest out of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And I'll tell you what, I just got it. I got it a couple of days ago and I began reading through it. And I'll tell you what, it's excellent. I have a number of books on angels. This is a great book. You're going to love it. And he draws from scripture. He draws from church fathers. He draws from the teachings of the church and the catechism. And he talks about how the angels, the good angels who serve God and the evil angels who fell with Lucifer influence you in a very powerful way. And yet so often, I don't think we're even cognizant of that. You know, the evil angels are insidious and they want you to be trapped in sin. They want to draw you away from God. They are your enemy. But the angels that God have given you are holy, and they will also help you in this great fight that we call life and help you make your way to your eternal home. Monsignor Bransfield joins me today. His book, by the way, if you want to do a quick search for it, Angels, Our Guardians in the Spiritual Battle. And it's available at our Sunday Visitor. That's osv.com. You can check it out there. I'm sure other stores as well. Hey, Monsignor, congratulations. Great job on your book.
Hi, Drew. Thank you very much. And thank you for the invitation. I'm glad to be with you and your listeners today.
Well, I love it. I love the angelic. It was a couple of weeks ago I actually touched on it on the show. And, boy, some of the stories that have come in have just been off the charts. Is this always been a topic of particular interest to you? Or, you know, like I said, I often forget my angel. I'm delighted you sat down to write about the importance of their assistance in our journey, especially in our spiritual battle. Give me a little history. What happened? How'd you decide to write this book?
Well, for me, I think the angels always sneak up on us. We always hear about them usually when we're younger, and they fit into the various stories, and we're familiar with the accounts of angels in the scripture. For me, I think they're the most down-to-earth of beings, even though they're invisible and pure spirits, because they are the ones who work behind the scenes in the spiritual life. And I think they're happy not to have the spotlight on them, the good and holy angels, because they're beings of humility. Their humility always points to Christ. And so they're happy to take the back seat, to fade into the background a bit. But they are swift. They are present. They are always down to earth. They're within reach for us. And we need to remember it when we're feeling hurt, sometimes when we're feeling lonely, adrift, But for me in my life, they've always had that sense of being close by, close at hand in the spiritual life. And they're ones I rely on regularly.
I've read somewhere, I don't know where it was, and this may not even be theologically accurate. We're all given guardian angels, right? But do priests, those called to special missions, are they assigned more than one angel for their mission?
I have heard that too. I have not found that directly in the sources of Revelation, but I believe saints in the pious tradition of some saints, they have spoken of that. I think Padre Pio and others have said that. So I think in a devotional sense, we can certainly honor that and we're free to accept that. And certainly we know priests need that very much. And the angels are such powerful beings. Yeah. St. Augustine said there's a certain greatness in the angels and such power that if the angels exerted it to the fullest, it cannot be withstood.
Wow.
And so...
Yeah. It always amazed me, Father, when angels come in the Old Testament, in the New Testament even, or even to certain saints, there are these powerful, beautiful beings, but so often people tremble and fear at the sight of them. You know, what does the angel Gabriel say? Be not afraid, right? What is it about their presence? So often Hollywood has a thinking of these winged characters in a single gown, right? But I think they're incredibly powerful creatures. In fact, in your book, maybe you can bring us back to the very beginning. You know, you write that at the beginning when God created light itself. He created angels at that time. So bring us through the creation of angels and what their being is like and why they have this persona.
Well, angels are created and they're so close to God. They are created beings. They're not semi-gods. They're not little gods. They're not divine. But they are creatures created by God. And what light is to our eye, angels are to the soul. Light is allowing me right now and all of us to see what's in our room. It travels to the eye. The angels have a mission in the depths of our soul to convey the mysteries of God. And as they do that, they're created so close to God, they reflect that light so abundantly that it's overwhelming to us. So as you mentioned in the Old Testament and the New Testament, as the angel appears to human beings, at first it's a wave of light that is overwhelming. And so the angel has to protect us. God's grace has to protect us from being overwhelmed. And the angel goes so far as to communicate that, do not be afraid, and gives us the permission and capacitates us through the grace of God to receive the angelic message. So the light of the angel is overwhelming, but God accommodates us through his grace to receive that in a way that we're able. Yeah. So it's a very powerful moment when the angels reveal themselves and they uncover for us the deep mysteries of God.
So in terms of the hierarchy of heaven, and there is a hierarchy of angels, where does man sit in relationship to the angels? Do angels have a higher place in heaven than man? Or because of the Virgin Mary's yes and God becoming man, does man have a higher place than the angelic? Or does it even matter?
In creation. Well, I think it does matter. In creation, obviously, in the story, it's God. He's uncreated. Mm-hmm. Divine being. As he creates the world, we have vegetable, animal, mineral, we have human. Yeah. So we have an intellect and we have a body, body and soul, the powers of the soul. But then angels are without bodies. They are pure intellect, pure spirit. So they're higher in the level of creation. But in redemption, God has deigned to become man in the incarnation. Yeah. And so we are made higher than the angels in heaven. The blessed in heaven are higher than the angels because we are sons in the Son. He shares the grace of redemption with us. And the angels celebrate that. The good and holy angels are in awe before
that mystery.
They are in awe that the Son of God would take flesh and in humility would be born of the ever-Virgin Mary, take humanity to himself, and take on the burden of sin, suffer and die for us in his glorious passion. And in his resurrection, so exalts human nature that it rises above the ranks of angels. And that's when we hear, who is the King of Glory? How shall we call him? The angels are astounded at his beauty of the risen Christ.
Wow. That's such a beautiful way of putting it. Yeah, and it just, you know, I don't think I contemplate that enough. that we are literally sons and daughters of God, and what that means. You know, I mean, it's a pretty profound thought. But you go to the good angels, as you point out, they're in awe, they're in astonishment of this. And there was a great test. Maybe you can explain the fall of the angels as well. What happened to those who saw what was about to take place? How did the fall of the angels come about? How did Lucifer rise? You know, we can get into that much more, but I'll let you pick it up there.
Certainly. All of the angels are created by God in goodness, in holiness, and they make a choice. They are given one choice at the beginning of their creation. In their intellect, which is far superior to ours, they know all of the mysteries. It's made known to them through the grace of Christ. It's made known through the grace of the Son. And they must have a choice to freely embrace the plan of God or to not. And they make one action outside of time by which they determine themselves forever. So the good and holy angels see the beauty of the Son of God. It's reflected, and they see the divine plan that's made known to them in the initial moment of beatitude. And in that they rejoice, and they say yes. And in their first act of charity, they're forever confirmed in holiness and beatitude. Mm-hmm. Lucifer, who was among the highest of the angels, if not the highest angel, the bearer of light, sees the plan that's revealed in initial beatitude in the instant of his creation. And according to the fathers of the church, Lucifer sees in particular that the Son of God would empty himself and take human nature in the incarnation, not the nature of angels, not the nature of pure spirits, but the nature of flesh, human beings. And Lucifer opposes the humility. And he sees that that would take place through the ever-Virgin Mary. And Lucifer rears back in his insolent pride and opposes the plan of God and a third of the angels, according to the book of Revelation. He communicates to them, and they fall with him. And so in one choice, because of his pride and envy, he is cast out of heaven. He has no further information by which to adjust his mind, and there's no defect in the mercy of God there. It's Lucifer freely, with his angelic superior knowledge, sees an initial beatitude, rears up, rejects the plan of God completely and definitively, and falls.
Non servium. I will not
serve. Non servium. I will not serve. At the humility of the Son of God, he rejects the beautiful plan of God, especially in the Virgin Mary, the Son of God becoming incarnate, all of that. He turns, and it is humility. That's why the devil is blind to humility now. He cannot see or detect humility. And so our best place is to live a life of humility.
Such a great insight. And, of course, the Virgin Mary, who he hates with a seething hatred and enmity, was the most humble of them all. Be it done unto me according to your will, quite different than non servium. You know, I'll go to the phones. A number of people are waiting to join us. And if you want to get in, it's 888-914-9149. I'll take your calls in a quick second. 888-914-9149. Just on the fall of the angels, I'm always fascinated by this revelation. God did not create anything evil, right? And yet you've got Lucifer, who rejects God, vows not to serve. Is this the moment that evil was born? I mean, if God only can create good things, how can evil manifest?
God, you're right. God is the cause of all that is good. Therefore, God is not the cause of evil. It is through his action, the envy of the devil, pride, through his choice, through Lucifer's choice, and that of the evil angels who sided with him, that is where evil enters. And it's a privation. And that's the way he tempts humanity, that what he gave up in heaven, he would not want humanity ever to approach. And so he tempts us, but that is the moment. It is reflective of a sinful choice made by Lucifer. That's the moment when evil enters in.
You know, the beauty of the way the story ends is that in the end, the queen of humility crushes his head. You know, God is just so good. Yeah. The way this all unfolds, the antithesis of everything that Lucifer is, defeats him. Yet he is the Prince of Pride, right? He loves pride, and pride often leads to envy. And he's envious of the human race, isn't he? He hates humanity.
He is, as you said, he hates the Annunciation to Our Lady, since it's with her fiat that the Son of God becomes incarnate in her immaculate womb. So he always remains the enemy of the incarnation of God come in the flesh. And St. John, in his second letter, emphasizes that many deceivers have gone out. Those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ coming in the flesh, that's the Antichrist. So Lucifer abhors the incarnation, and Our Lady's role in it, he flees from that completely.
Yeah, so it brings us to, I think, an important talking point, conversation, and even aspect of your book, and that's the spiritual life, because with Satan's envy of the human race, with his pride, with his hatred of what God has done for us, he not only attacks, but really he wants to destroy. And we see this, I see this attack in the culture very, very vividly today, Monsignor. I see the attack on the family and on life and on marriage, all these things that reflect, you know, the Trinity and God. But also, you know, as he attacks us personally through impurity, you know, pornography's rampant today, through greed, through all these other things that are terrible sins. Our angel there, the good angels, the other side of this equation, are there to assist us in the battle against Satan and his enemies. So let me pick up on that point. We'll go to the phones in a second here. How important is it to turn to our guardian angel? How can we, as beginners in maybe devotion to the angels, have them assist us in this journey to growing deeper in the spiritual life?
I think that's an excellent question, Drew. The first thing is we ask them, we say, good and holy angels, please help me. And as they do, and they will come to our aid. They will prompt us. We will notice the promptings. The first prompting will probably be to go to confession, the sacrament of confession, because the good angels always seek to motivate us to go to confession. They want to preserve us from evil, to free us from sin. Remember, Lucifer's non serviam, I will not serve. His rejection of God is anti-confession. So the devil hates confession. He hates the sacrament of penance. And he knows that in confession, everything is brought to the brilliant light of God's unending truth and mercy. Amen. And so when we are stirred to go to confession, he will try to talk us out of it. He will wonder, he'll prompt them, well, maybe they'll recognize your voice. Yeah. Maybe you can't make the times there. You'll forget how to do it. Yeah. You're not ready. Those are all, we need to move those along, because God loves us. Humility horrifies the devil, and the humility necessary to go to confession terrifies him.
Yeah. Wow, it's powerful stuff. I love what you write in your book about temptation, one of the great tools of the evil one against every single one of us. You call temptation spiritual hypothermia. And I thought, man, that's such a brilliant insight. You got to unpack that. Share a little bit of that with everyone.
Oh, sure. That's a very important image. That it hypothermia, awesome. As our body gets colder, if we go into very cold water, suddenly we start to feel warm.
Yeah, that's true.
But we're not. We're starting to be lulled. We're starting to feel warm. And therefore, we get comfortable. We start to be sleepy. We start to relax. But it's hypothermia. It's going to hurt us. It's going to kill us ultimately. And therefore, we need to wake up to be aware. The devil wants to freeze our soul to make it devoid of the warmth of grace. And if we don't learn to recognize temptation from the beginning, it'll be like hypothermia. We think, you know, I don't have to go to Mass on Sunday when I'm on vacation. You know, God knows where I am in the heart. Why not look at the porn site after all? It's not like I'm out with a prostitute. I'll only look for fit. Why not gossip? Everybody's doing it.
Right.
At some point, hypothermia begins to feel good. The devil wants to tempt us to feel good, but that's the wicked threat of sin coming in. It appears beautiful, something we can't do without. He wants to blend in. He wants to make his suggestion appear ordinary for our benefit. But temptation takes that form, and that's why it's a deceptive semblance over reality. Yeah. It's an illusion.
Yeah.
And that's why confession, The Eucharist, reverence for the holy names of our Lord and our Lady. It's so important for us to do that because that, over time, dispels the illusion. You know, the Lord referred to the devil as the ruler, the prince of this world. Yeah. St. Paul calls him the god of this age. And he wants to wield that influence, to take hold of the concrete circumstances of our life, distort them with his illusions, and influence us. That's why important we turn to grace, the sacrament of penance, the Eucharist, the Eucharistic adoration, the intercession of Our Lady, humility, scripture. God dwells in the justified soul. Yeah. And so the sacraments are essential for us.
Yeah. My guest today is Monsignor Brian Bransfield. He's a priest from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. He just came out with a new book. I'm really looking forward to diving deeply into this. I think it's a different type of angel book. I've read a lot of different ones. Friends of mine have written them. This is called Angels Are Guardians in the Spiritual Battle. And we're only scratching some of the surface of what's contained in this treasure. I hope you'll check it out. It's available at our Sunday Visitor. That's osv.com. And Monsignor, I'm assuming it's available at other places too?
It is. It's available on Amazon and various places, Barnes & Noble, all various sites it's available on.
I hope people pick it up. Let's grab a call or two before I have to take a break, and then we'll take more calls on the other side. Brock is listening in San Luis Obispo, California. Hi, Brock. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew and Monsignor. My question is, there. I'm guessing in the implication that the angels have made their choice once and for all, that sort of implies that there won't be any additional angels created. Is that correct?
Yes, the angels are all created at the beginning by God. So God creates all of the angels. St. Augustine says God creates the angels when in Genesis God says, let there be light. And all the multitude, the uncountable, we don't have a human numbering system that can count the angels. We can't count them. Only God knows the number of angels. But that is the creation at that moment of the angels. We're not aware. It's not been revealed to us that there's any other creation. So it is at the beginning. God creates the entire heavenly host at the very beginning.
That's so beautiful. Aquinas said that?
Then that also answers the question. Then there's no future possibility of an additional angelic rebellion.
No, because once the good and holy angels make their choice, they make one choice. And once they make that, they are forever confirmed in goodness and holiness before God.
Thank God.
Okay, thank you for that. I've often wondered that question.
Thanks, Brock. Appreciate the call. Thank God for our humanity, I guess, Monsignor. You know, the fact that we can fall, take advantage of the...
We can remake our choices.
That's right.
That's the nature of our intellect. We do not have an angelic intellect of a pure spirit who take in everything at once. You and I had to learn math, language arts, all types of skills in a discursive way. Angels don't learn that way. It's revealed to them consistent with their nature as pure spirit. God shares it with them in the light appropriate to their angelic intellect in one moment.
So we're talking angels today. I know a number of people have been patiently waiting on hold. I'll try my best to get everyone on. If you want to join us, if you've got a question, you want to pull up a chair and join the conversation, the number's 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. There's lots of questions. Like, do angels have gender? What powers do they possess? What are the limits? Can they read your thoughts? How about this one regarding the evil angels, the devil? What is the devil's favorite game? I'll fill you in on that when we return.
Wish you could hit rewind on that convo? Listen to the podcast on relevantradio.com or anywhere podcasts can be found.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How are you aligning your financial plan with your Catholic values? Is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More information, including disclosures, at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus. There was only one thing on his mind, only one thing to say. Angels watching over me, every move I make. Angels watching over me. Angels watching.
Yeah, if you are just joining me, today we are talking about angels. You have been given by God a guardian, an angelic being. who is there to protect, to guard, to guide. I think it was Pope Leo XIII that said, you know, make friends with your angels. Make friends with your angels. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, who once said, you know, the angels are here and they're at your side. They're with you. They're present on your behalf. And they're there to protect you, to serve you. But even if, you know, he says, if it is God who's given them charge, we must nonetheless be grateful to them for the great love with which they obey and they come to help us in great need. And I'm sure many of you have had that experience where in a moment of great danger, you've been protected and you know there was something more that was going on, and more than coincidence, that God had protected you perhaps in a very divine way. Perhaps it was a moment of temptation. And I want to say to anyone who's struggling with temptation, maybe it's greed, maybe it's infidelity, maybe it's lust, maybe it's pornography, whatever it is, call upon your angel when you feel that flare, when you feel that temptation rise. And I guarantee you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised at what happens next. My guest wrote a book. His name is Monsignor Brian Bransfield. He's a priest from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And it's called Angels Are Guardians in the Spiritual Battle. And I think we forget our angels. I think we don't utilize them enough. They're a gift from God for us. Monsignor holds a doctorate in moral theology from the Pontifical John Paul II Institute for Studies on Marriage and Family, or doctorate in moral theology, I should say. But he's written other books as well, and he's here to answer your questions. We'll take a few of them for you. Monsignor, I was talking about the spiritual battle. The devil's favorite game. What is the devil's favorite game? What is his favorite strategy, tactic, game?
His favorite game is isolation, Drew. The devil thrives on lies. And our Lord said it. He's the father of lies. St. Teresa of Avila says, anything the devil gives is like himself a total lie. And so these illusions, these deceptions that he wants to come into our mind, to marinate in our mind, that's a groundwork of it, of sin. And isolation is his favorite game. It's the deception and the lie that you are alone. You and I are alone. That he proposes division, isolation as the answer to what's bothering us. Lash out at others. That's the outer band. Isolation is the outer band of what's going to grow into the hurricane of temptation. It's a poison designed to look like the cure. And the devil waters our isolation with impatience to make it grow. He wants us to get annoyed, tighten up, lash out at other people, because the devil wants to play the game of isolation with us because he knows he can tempt us more easily when we're cut off from others, when we're separate from the communion of love that is the church.
Well, I love it. I mean, we could spend a couple hours talking. I want to get to the phones because a lot of people are patiently waiting. You have, there's so many questions. The mirror is the devil's favorite toy. The devil's favorite question you have in here. Gossip, the devil's favorite radio station. I love it. I love the way you go ahead and you frame out the book, and that's just some of it. The book, if you want to get it at OSV or Catholic bookstore near you, you can ask for it or online. Let's grab a call or two first. Joe is in Passaic, New Jersey. He's got a comment or a story for you. Father, hi, Joe.
Hello, how you guys doing?
We're great.
All right, quickie.
Hi, Joe.
There's a Japanese poet by the name of Basho. He said you only live twice, once when you're born, once you look death in the face. I've experienced that 13 times, so get to my story. I was a police officer in Passaic, New Jersey, back in the 70s. And there was a motorcycle gang, Jersey Jack and the Pagans. They always hung out at a certain bar at night. So, again, a lot of complaints, so we had to sit there at night. One night, it was by myself. There was nobody else, and I was quiet. 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm standing there stretching my legs. 40 motorcycle guys come out of the bar. I'm standing there by myself. I said, this is it. All of a sudden, all 40 of them are looking up over my head behind me. I didn't see any lights. I didn't hear any sirens. There was nobody there. All of a sudden, they turned around and went back inside. Thank you, Archangel. Thank you, my angel.
Yeah, right. What did they see, right? I love it. That's awesome.
Well, God surrounds us. That's what the angels do. God surrounds us with his protection.
Yeah.
And that's the notion in the book of Job, that God is surrounding Job, the angels surround Job with his protection.
Yeah.
They hedge Job in, the good and holy angels.
Yeah.
And that's what they do for the believer.
Amen to that. Hey, let me go to the phones. Grant in Wisconsin is up next. Fern, good afternoon. You are on the air with Monsignor Bransfield.
Hi, thanks. I was wondering what happens to angels when babies are aborted, and then after we die.
Well, the angels. Thank you for your question. The angels are always beholding the Heavenly Father's face in heaven. So the angels constantly intercede for those who die, for those who are suffering, for those who are killed. The angels constantly intercede and pray to God for them, and that the way that they were done violence, the way they were killed, that that would end. But also for them, the angels pray and intercede continuously.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much for a good question. Tim is in Clearwater, Florida for the question as well. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Drew. First time caller, long time listener.
Great to have
Semper
you.
Fi.
Welcome. Semper Fi, brother.
Hey, is there a chain of command for the angels? Is St.
Yes,
Michael a general, or is he can't because he's just like a guardian angel. Is it a choir of angels, like seraphims and cherubims outrank him and stuff? And also, is it respectful to name your angel? I'll hang up and listen. Yeah, thank it. You, sir.
Tim sounds like he was a former Marine, or is a Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. So he's asking about rank. That's a great question.
Thank you. Well, there are the nine choirs, the seraphim, cherubim, thrones, dominions, powers, virtues, principalities, archangels, angels, and the seraphim are the highest of it, and they communicate through, but it's not a hierarchy of competition. It's a hierarchy of unity and harmony, and they communicate the beauty of God's grace. One ought not to name an angel. I believe Pope Benedict had advised very strongly, taught against that, that we know the names of only the three angels, Gabriel, Michael, Raphael. And to try to name our angels some way to express power over, and we ought not to do that. We ought not try to figure that out or name, that we only know the names of those three angels that we've been told in divine revelation.
Yeah, I don't know how much time you have, but maybe you take us through some of the choirs of angels, those closest to God. What do? They constantly adore God? I mean, what are the roles of these angels, these different choirs?
Sir, it's a very good question. The ranks of the seraphim are those who burn with love for God and who adore him. And through that, the knowledge that's passed into the cherubim. And then down through the thrones, dominions, virtues, powers, then virtues, principalities, archangels, angels, choirs. Then each one takes a certain place. One is to protect us from temptation. One is to make known the message to the nations. One is to protect believers, to protect the faithful. And so each of the angelic choirs flowing especially from the love, the seraphim, those who burn with love for God, those who burn in the cherubim with the knowledge of God, those who adore God around his throne, then this emanates down through the dominions, the powers, the virtues, in very practical ways to guard us from temptation. To help us know, as we say in the act of contrition, when there is the near occasion of sin, even the proximate or remote occasion of sin, to introduce us to the mysteries of Christ and Our Lady and all the saints, to shed light on the great mysteries of God in innumerable ways. That's the task of the nine choirs, those closest to God and those closest to us, so that we can worship him and he can guide us and protect us and teach us through their ministry.
Well said. My guest today, Monsignor Brian Bransfield. We'll take a few of your calls. I have a few minutes still to hang out with you. The number's 888-914-9149. Karen has been holding forever. She's in California. Karen, thank you for your patience. I know you're probably the longest one online here, so welcome.
Oh, thank you very much. Father Blunt, who's an exorcist, he was dispensing the host to my sister and said, come see me in the office the next day because there was a family demon behind her that would hang around with her. And we know that's a fact. So he did an exorcist session with her. So I ran down and asked him if he saw anything with me. And he said, no, but I will say one thing. Your guardian angel is extremely tired. Well, let me tell you, very tired. I thought about that. Yeah. So what I do is when I drive around and try to pretend my angel is sitting next to me in my car, shotgun. Yeah. I do try to talk with the angel daily, but I was in a cliff diving accident, and I feel that I was saved by my angel because I did have some connective tissue issues, but I sliced my head open and I could have been killed if not handicapped. Yeah. I have had a almost a head-on car collision in the mountains. That was not done. I mean, that was erased.
Yeah.
But I also have been able to convert to a Catholic, plus became a minister, Eucharistic minister, and was had the opportunity to serve at the local hospital last rites with the priest.
Well, how beautiful. So well, Karen, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Wonderful stories, and she had a lot in there from divine protection, from a cliff diving accident to car accidents and much more. And clearly, if you're in a relationship with your guardian angel, I think you'll be drawn closer to God. In terms of divine protection, and we hear a lot of these stories, how do you discern that, Monsignor? And if you ever had an encounter with your angel, I always love asking those who talk about this if you've ever had one of those angelic encounters.
Sure. Well, I think divine protection, the angels protect us in ways we probably only know about in the next life.
Yeah,
I think their mission is so manifold that it's so profound that they're behind every scene and they're around every corner of the good and holy angels. For me, I remember I was watching a show when I was very young, probably at 8 or 9 years old, and my mom was explaining it to me. It was about the Old Testament television, the movie. I forget the name of it. And she said, this is where Abraham meets the angels. And I didn't really know much about it. I knew about Noah from the Ark, and I knew about Moses from the Red Sea, but Abraham I wasn't familiar with, and I saw these three figures on television. It was on television, and I expected to see the fragile wings, the porcelain cherub faces on puffy white clouds, but these angels didn't float. They weren't delicate. They didn't have feathered wings, but they had this immediate, commanding, adventurous steadiness about them. They didn't have bleach white robes. They wore long, almost motionless earth tone colors. They had deep hoods that concealed their faces in this quiet shadow. But they were sturdy figures up straight and tall with this confident strength. And their feet were firmly on the ground. Their posture was poised. It was steady. It was ready, stable. And their silence was meaningful. It was like they were right in between expectation and surprise.
Wow.
There was a decisiveness about it. Now, somebody would say this was an 8-year-old kid seeing people who were well cast in Hollywood, but there was more. They stood still. Their presence carried this gentle swiftness. They had this unobtrusive purpose about them. They were down to earth, within reach, but at the same time, ungraspable. God showed me something there. He used very net. Grace always builds on nature.
Yes.
And it doesn't override nature. The scene conveyed to me, there was a French abbot, Baudon. He inspired St. Louis de Montfort in the Imitation of Christ. And Baudon said, there is nothing in created being more powerful than the angelic nature.
Wow.
And I think as angels drift past us, we capture it with our soul. And the mind can never understand what is revealed to the soul completely. And the soul, it takes decades to understand what it sees.
Wow.
Whereas the mind, the mind wants to explain things right away. But the soul is so peaceful in explaining things. It took me 40 years to write this book, 50 years to write this book from that initial scene. There was, I can see it in my mind's eye. Now, I'm not saying it was otherworldly beings that came down from the ninth choir and appeared.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something about that that hasn't left me alone to this day.
Well,
and this book was the response to an 8-year-old kid watching a movie where my mom said, Abraham is about to meet the angels. And in a sense, so did I.
An amazing call. And clearly God was at work. And this book is a wonderful gift. We come back. We'll grab a few more calls if you want to join us. 888-914-9149. I only have about 10 more minutes with Monsignor Bransfield. But if you want to get in, you can give it a shot. I'd love to address the issue also, Monsignor, when we come back. What happens to our angels after we die? Also, what happens to them when we sin? Hey, if you're in the market for health insurance, well, our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help you and your family find the most cost-effective health plan. Learn more at relevantradio.com/Forester.
Alone. The Drew Mariani Show. on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, one of my favorite topics, the angels. There is a new book out. It's written by Monsignor Brian Bransfield, and it's called Angels Are Guardians in Spiritual Battle. You know, I've said earlier, and I'll say it again, I've read a lot of different angel books. I've had friends that have written these, and this is unique. It's really different. I think you're going to get a lot out of it. If you want to check it out, you can go to our Sunday Visitor, osv.com, I believe is their website, or I guess you could go to Amazon. Check your Catholic bookstore. I always want to support them. Ask them to get it in for you. All right, so help them as well. But we're going to go back to the phones, take a few more of your calls as we take a look at angels. Monsignor and I left off. I posed a question or two. A lot of people have the misconception when they die, they become angels. What happens to our angel after we die? Are they our eternal companions as well? I mean, they're our friend on this side of the veil. What happens to them in the next?
The angels never desert us, Drew. We read with the rich man and Lazarus. Remember when Lazarus dies, the angels carry him to the bosom of Abraham. Our angels escort us. May the choirs of angels welcome you, we sing at the funeral rites for the deceased. So the angels are our companions, and they accompany us to eternal life and are our companions even there. Yeah. In the bliss we pray, in the bliss of beatified bliss of heaven.
Yeah, we have an off-air caller. This is a rough one, but I'll throw it to you because I think it's a legitimate question. They're asking, where are the angels, Monsignor, when horrible things are happening, like when kids are being raped?
The angels are nearby, and I think the angels are anguished by that. The angels can't override human free choice, even terrible, horrible, scandalous free choices. The angels can't override what a human being in their choice decides to do. But the angels will bring healing. They will be ministers of God's healing, Christ's healing, the presence of Our Lady. So the angels weep. They weep abundantly, and they're devastated by these things because it's so different from the plan of God for humanity. And so the angels seek to protect us.
So when an individual sins personally, the person cheating on their spouse or looking at pornography or stealing from their company or gossiping or slandering or whatever the infraction may be, what happens to your angel at that moment in time?
Well, St. Basil says an angel's put in charge of every believer. He guards the soul like an army. St. Basil says our angel will guard our soul like an army, provided we don't distance ourselves from our angel. You know, so again, the power of human free will in this, when one chooses to do something seriously wrong with full consent of the will and sufficient reflection, but the angel always wants to draw us back. He will prompt us to go to confession.
Amen.
That's what our angel does.
Let's do this. We'll grab a couple calls. Sharon in San Leandro, California. Good afternoon.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi. Yeah. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. So I'm calling because where does the angel of death fit into the angels? And I don't want to say hierarchy, but I guess I should. Where does that fit in? And usually it comes in sort of a more of a scary, macabre type of form. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering about that.
Well, thank you for your question. The angel of death, we would pray that each believer is prompted as they approach death, to approach the sacraments, to have the anointing of the sick, to go to confession, to receive viaticum. So our angels seek to ready us for every challenge in life, but especially for the ultimate challenge of death. And that's why we pray for the grace of a happy death. Yeah. We continually pray through life for the grace of a happy death. So the angels seek to save us and draw us to the sacrament.
She talks about an angel of death. I mean, there are angels of wrath. And countries have angels? I know the angel of Portugal appeared to the Fatima children. God assigns.
Yes, there would be. Yes, ahead. In the choirs of angels, the principalities and others would be assigned to be the angels of particular.
Got it. All right, Dan in Chicago, you're on the air with Monsignor Bransfield. Good afternoon.
Hi. Hey, yeah, I understand and appreciate the scriptural basis for angels, and I know they exist. But my struggle is with the fact that we seem to purport to know so much about their details and their
their organization, for example, mm-hmm. you speak of the choir of angels,
right.
Their behaviors, their properties, their characteristics. And I'm wondering, what is the authority for that besides Scripture?
Great.
If there is authority for it.
Thank you, Dan. Great question.
Very good question. Well, certainly, obviously, Scripture is the primary. St. Gregory the Great says nearly every page of Scripture testifies to the existence and work of angels. We also rely on the fathers of the church. They are a source, a theological source, by which we learn divine revelation. The fathers, those who reveal to us the first pressing of the grapes, as it were, of the mystery, so that God uses the fathers of the church to go deeper into the mysteries and to show the beauty of Scripture, which carries divine revelation to us. So the tradition of the church, as well as sacred Scripture, sacred tradition, so the councils of the church, the official teaching of the church, those would be the sources of authority, all based in what God has revealed about the angels. But remember, the angels like to be behind the scenes. They don't like the good and holy angels to claim the spotlight.
Gotcha. Dan, it's a good question. I'm grateful for it. Thanks for calling. I'm going to move along just because we have a few moments left here. Barbara is in Cape Coral, Florida. Hi, you're on the air with Monsignor Bransfield. Go right ahead.
Hi, I'm a Shavis. I'm an old lady, and honest to God, I love my faith so much. I've just been so grateful I was born, and my parents had been born into the faith and brought us up in this. But my angel, I'm telling you one thing, she's the best. I take her everywhere with me every morning. But I do have a little angel statue. Yeah. So every morning when I get up and I say, "Dear Jesus, take my hand and walk with me, Blessed Mother, mm-hmm. Cover my children with your cloth," yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And then I make my angel God my guardian dear. I learn in first, second, third grade or something. And I say, "Okay, guys, let's go. We're going shopping today." When I get in the car, I say, "Okay, please, dear God, and my guardian angel."
That's a wonderful devotion.
Yeah, you take them everywhere with you, Barbara, huh? I love that.
Everywhere. Right. See my eyes, see my ears.
Thanks.
And keep me safe. And I say, "I love you, I love you, I love you."
Well,
and off we go. So we go everywhere together.
I love it, Barbara. You're adorable. And your angels, I'm sure, are delighted by your devotion to them. Monsignor, I only have about 2 minutes left. And lines are stacked. We could certainly take more calls. But let me give you the final moment and a half, 2 minutes that we have here, for final thoughts for those, whatever you want to leave with us regarding the angels.
I believe the angels are very much ready to work with us if we feel lonely, if we feel forgotten, adrift, hurt, if we feel distant. The angels are close by. We don't have to jump through hoops to get the love of the angels, to get their protection. It will begin to unfurl in our life. The key, what the angels will prompt us to, reverence for the holy names of our Lord and our Lady. They will prompt us to go to confession. They will prompt us to go to attend Mass, especially on the Lord's Day, but then through the week as we can. And if we can't get out to go to Mass, they will prompt us at home to maybe view it on television. They will prompt us to prayer, especially the Holy Rosary, and they will lead us into being protected and taught. It's a simple step. Sometimes we think we have to do so much, but just call on them because they are nearby.
Well, thank you for not only for your time today, but for your book. And again, I'll plug it one more time. It's Angels Are Guardians in the Spiritual Battle by Monsignor J. Brian Bransfield. You can get it at our Sunday Visitor. They're the publishers of it, or at a Catholic bookstore or online. Make sure you do that. Monsignor, we'll catch up again soon. Would you remember us in your prayers?
Thank you, Drew. And you do the same for me. Thanks very much, Drew.
I promise you I'll do that. I'm going to finish my rosary on my ride home. You'll be in it, okay? You got it.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you. All right. I'm out of time for the day. If you missed any part of this conversation, Maggie will upload the show, and you can access it in about an hour. Share it with someone else. Listen to what you missed. Until tomorrow, remember, God loves you, and so do I. Have a good day.